It is time for us to gaze through the pages of Main Street Magazine. We do this on a weekly basis with our Kristen Dotter. You can find Main Street Magazine for pickup for free at many places around the tri-state region and their companion website, which is mainstreetmag.com. And we say good morning to Thorin. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine, especially with the week-long beautiful summer weather. We had a great weekend this past weekend, so I'm all set for the next 10 days.
There you go. Can't complain about that.
No. And we're going to hit this probably I'm going to mention it at least once with you through it happens the 30th. Because I'm very close to the people that set this up. And it's just an outstanding event, and it's back after a two-year absence. And that is your article on the Jane Lloyd Fund, Clambake, Connecticut's Community Cancer Patients. It's a terrific article. We've got an interview that we're running on the air. And I just want people to know that this is a great Clambake because they only have to sell 250 tickets, and if they're sold out, you can still go. And even if they weren't sold out, you can go. It's just that you can't have the clam bake, but they're going to have hot dogs, hamburgers. I mean, it is a terrific, terrific event, and you have a great story on it and also some great pictures.
Yeah, Regina spoke with Caroline Birchfield and some of the other organizers. And as you said, with COVID, you know, they had had to postpone and cancel the event for a while. So it's very exciting that it's back. And it's, you know, as you were saying, it's for a wonderful cause. And it goes back many years for to when Jane Lloyd herself, who the fund is named for, when she was struggling with cancer and fortunately in a past, but they created this in her name to help families dealing with someone in their family who has cancer. But I think the difference is that they help them with the expenses, not of the cancer treatment, but of associated costs.
Every everyday living expenses that you give up because, of course, you spend all your money on survival and treating cancer. And so the money that's raised goes to cover those other expenses that you have in life that you have not put the money towards. It's just an outstanding organization. And, you know, Thorin, during the 2 years they were in absence, this is a big fundraiser and a big image for them, okay?
Yes.
And also in the wintertime, they all used to have a dance, and that has been postponed for 2 years at the White Hart. But the great thing about this area, that even though they didn't have this the past 2 years, people stepped forward and still made donations so they could do what they do. And this signifies life in small town America, at least where we are anyway, where people are always there to stand up and help.
Exactly. And so this is, you know, one of these core events that I love about our community as well.
Now, when I was growing up, we always had family dinners. And what was great about it was my grandmother and her sisters, whenever they were around, we got together, cooked. And it included my grandmother, cousins, brothers, sisters, on a daily basis, uncle, aunt, and brothers and sisters, and mom and dad, and my grandmother. Family dinners were a very, very big thing. You had them. As a matter of fact, we had, I know this is going to shock them, there were dining rooms at once in people's houses. Not eating spaces, but dining rooms. Well, anyway, you've got a great story, the family that eats together. And what's interesting about it is it has changed a lot. The family dynamic has changed a lot. But this is truly a great story about families and food.
Yeah, Mary O'Neill wrote this, and she proposed it when we were talking about the food and drink issue and how there's a lot of research that has come out about the impact that, you know, if families sitting together having one meal a day or, you know, a couple times a week, if that's possible, the impact that it has mentally, physically, and so on. And so she was explaining, she did briefly touches on some of the research in here, but it's quite interesting. And so her article, the half of it, or just about half of it, focuses on tips of, you know, how you can put together a family dinner and, you know, put the devices away and a couple of tips and stuff about, you know, topics of discussion or things that you can do during your family dinner to make that connection with other family members.
And I do realize that people do go out with their families to fast food places and have dinner, but it's a different thing when you do it at home. And I also realize that people do spend time cooking with their family members. But once again, that's not everybody gathered around at once. But what's great about this article, it even gives you a website to go to called the Family Dinner Project, which is thefamilydinnerproject.org, because it really was a great tradition where you sat down and you not only ate dinner at my house, and this was 7 days a week, it really was. You had an appetizer, you had the dinner, you had dessert, and then there were drinks, coffee or soft drinks afterwards. And yes, we talked a lot. And yes, there were arguments, but it was a whole different thing. And I just thought this article was a great article. It brings something to the point that, yes, we live in a different time and you can't do things all the time and you progress, but you can still spend time with your family around a dinner table and not necessarily a fast food dinner table.
Exactly.
Great article. Now, this is let's go to the caffeine capital of the East Coast.
Well, I've had this idea for a while. I asked Regina to write this, but I was talking to one of my new writers. I think it was Lorraine, and mentioning, you know, the caffeine capital, and she's like, "Well, that's Seattle, and that's the West Coast because of Starbucks." And I was like, "Okay, well, we can certainly dub ourselves the caffeine capital of the East Coast, because if you start looking around at the various coffee places as well as tea companies around here, there are a lot in a designated area that is not very big." So we, Regina and I, started compiling what we knew and looking up some others we didn't know, and I think we found one or two that we weren't aware of, which just added to our dubbing of the caffeine capital. And so in this article, she does an introduction, and then she goes through a number of the ones that she found that are interesting, all the way from Great Barrington to Germantown and Saugerties to Hudson. And, you know, of course, in our area, we have Claremont and Harney and Irving. But there are some other fun ones, like I wasn't aware of Crafted Brew Lab in Banton, Connecticut. And then there's Reverie Coffee Company down in Dover. They also have tea, so they have, you know, both coffee and tea. So it was quite fun to discover some of these and learn more about others that I was familiar with.
I remember years ago walking in New York City and seeing a storefront being worked on. Coming soon, Irving Farms.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also remember they came in for an interview once and they bought a jug of coffee, and it was unbelievable. And I had two cups, but it nearly blew my head off because I had it in the afternoon, and I always have if I'm going to have coffee, a cup in the morning. But we are very lucky. We have so many different interesting coffee roasters, as you say, tea companies, not only breweries for beer, but whiskey
distilleries
as well. I mean, this area has really, really turned into quite an amazing area for things like that.
It sure has. And so I've been ruminating on this article for quite a while, and finally we were able to put it together, obviously for this issue, because it's our food and drink issue, so I thought it was a perfect match for it.
Hey, something interesting is coming to Millerton, and for people that love IMSA and racing, there's a free event, a fan fest at the Millerton Inn, which is going to be held Thursday the 14th?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, at 6 o'clock. There's going to be cars there. There's going to be drivers. So if you're the type that can't get to Lime Rock Park and you want to see the cars and you want to see the drivers, that just sounds like an event that is a lot of fun. And it is free, F-R-E-E, okay, for people that want to go to it. All right. Now we go into the section of we're speaking, by the way, with Thorne Christendotter, Main Street Magazine. Last thing we'll talk about in these minutes. I keep getting I get mixed up. There's vegetarian, there's vegan, there's you've got a story, Reflections from an Aspiring Vegan, and a vegan is different than a vegetarian.
It is. Vegetarians will eat like eggs or cheese, whereas vegans will not touch any animal products. So there's no butter, there's no cheese, you know, the blasphemy of it. But Anna shared her journey with us in this piece about how she had lived in Oregon for many years. And, you know, obviously it's a little different culturally there. And it goes through how, you know, she became a vegetarian and then, you know, tried veganism and then came moved back on the East Coast. And how, you know, she just the ebbs and flow of how to view food, how to feel about food when you consume it. And then, you know, just different things culturally. And some people are vegetarians or vegans because of, you know, different things with, regarding animal cruelty. So there are many factors involved, obviously. And in this piece, Anna specifically shares kind of her journey from going through all the phases of it and where she is today.
It's a great article. And like I said, I always get vegetarian. Now you explained it simply, vegetarian and being a vegan. It's you know, there's so many different diets out there. One of the things they're investigating, I've got some problems that are causing, and one of the things they're investigating is glucose, and if I lose the ability to eat glucose, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea what I'm going to do, because if I'm glucose intolerant, this is going to destroy my lifestyle completely. So,
I hear you.
Yeah, well, anyways, this is once again Main Street Magazine. There's just a ton of different articles. This is the food issue, of course, and we're past July 4th. And what do you have on tap for next week? For next month, by the way.
Next month, we're the articles are starting to trickle in. August is usually just no specific theme, you know, because for our readers that know, we have a couple of themes throughout the year. And so August is one of those months, so we kind of do a little free-for-all. It's kind of a little bit of everything. So, you know, it's a potluck for my writers, what they focus on. Obviously, we have our usual, you know, articles. We'll have a recipe. We'll have an artist profile and an entrepreneur feature. But other than that, we're, you know, we have a mixture of stuff that is both seasonally specific as well as just, you know, fun or interesting.
All right. That's Main Street Magazine, available on the web at mainstreetmag.com and also for free pickup throughout the tri-state region. Thorin, we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds fantastic.
Take care. Thorin Christian Dotter this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.